this past week brought great joy to your pastor's heart. And this is the reason why. I had so many conversations, something to the effect of, Pastor, I've been reading the Word and I've been encouraged by it. Pastor, I'm growing in my faith. Pastor, it's been some struggles, but I'm trying my best to be more like Jesus Christ. When you hear things like that, boy, that's like sic'em to a pastor. It's like, go after it, see it, cheer them on. And I just want to say that brought great joy to my heart. And as a result of conversations over the last month and over the last week, I've decided to put our series on Romans on hold for a little bit, and I've decided to go to a series on discipleship. Because I think it's so important that if we are to make disciples as a local church, it's important for us to understand, what does a disciple look like? If I am to be a disciple myself, I need to look at the Word of God and find out what I should be doing, and then to help others. Discipleship is basically helping others to come to know Christ better, to be more Christ-like. And so we've chosen three words that would help us to fulfill our mission to make disciples. You know what they are? Can you give me the first word? Three words, but one word. What is it? Connect, grow, and serve. Connect to one another and to God. Serve the world, one another. Grow in our relationship with Christ. So, in the next few weeks, I'll talk about what a disciple looks like. But today, I want to just emphasize this matter of growth. Today, I want to challenge you and all of us to be growing, to be humble, and to accept the fact that we have not arrived. I have areas in my life that have been exposed to me over a hospital stay with my son, and God used that time in my life to say, Mark, you need to grow up some more. And I think God has a way of helping all of us through adversity and challenges to say, you have farther to go. You have come this far, great, but you need to continue to grow. So the big idea today is this. As followers of Jesus Christ, we need to always be growing and changing to be more like Christ. To be more like Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we consider this important topic, may Your Word ring loud in our ears so that we would understand that You have called us to be followers. You have called us to be devoted followers, growing followers, changing followers of Jesus Christ. And so help us to that end, we pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you know already that I grew up in a Christian home. I made a profession of faith in Christ at the age of 5 years of age. At that time, my dad was pastoring the church, and he was a great asset to me in helping to come to know Christ as my Savior. I attended service in church 3 times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and more. I went to youth group as I got old enough, went to Bible studies, I attended camp during the summers, went to seminars, conferences. After high school, I went off to Bible school. I did an internship following college in Grand Rapids, Michigan, for all you Michiganders. Then I went to Hong Kong as a missionary, and now I've been in ministry for over 30 years. Can I say, as I stand before you today, that I am a fully devoted follower of Christ? Can I say that I have reached maturity in my Christian life? No way. I would like to think that I am a growing disciple of Christ and a maturing follower of Christ. And I hope that that is your aim as well. I have not arrived, and I never will until I go home to be with the Lord. We can never say we've arrived. We can never say, I finally did it. I've mastered the Christian life. And so today I want to just help us all to think about this idea of growing and maturing in faith. My question this morning is this. I've got actually a couple questions. Do you want to grow in your faith? Do you want to mature? Do you want to strive to be a fully devoted follower of Christ? Do you want to be more Christ-like? Then this sermon, hopefully, will help you as you progress along. You know, there's some key phrases that we say to one another, and my dad was a great encourager, especially as I was working alongside, whether it was chopping wood or helping him cut the lawn or whatever. He was a way, he always could knew what to say. And he would say, "Way to go," or "Go for it," or "Go, go, go," or "You're a good man," or "How's it going?" And just those ways of expression, those expressions meant a lot to me and helped spur me on. I wonder if we could change those a little bit as it relates to growth in our spiritual life. Why don't we say something like, "Way to grow," "Grow for it," "Grow, grow, grow," or "How's it growing?" In fact, I want you to turn to your neighbor right now and ask, "How's it growing?" Okay. I was going to say, turn to your neighbor and say, "Grow up," but that doesn't sound as good, does it? How's it growing? Wouldn't that be wonderful if we met one another throughout this year and we just said something like that, "How's it growing?" And we were able to share with one another about the scripture reading that we're doing, or how God is using a Christian book to really spur us on, or a sermon that we just heard, or some kind of thing that God is encouraging our prayer life. Wouldn't that be wonderful to have conversations throughout this year? And that's what I'd like to challenge you with to think about. Growth. Number one, if you have your outlines in front of you, growth is expected. Growth is expected. Physically and spiritually. We think it's strange if our children don't grow. Something's wrong if we go back after 3 months, 6 months, or a year with our children and there's been no growth physically. We say, "Doc, is something wrong? Is something inhibiting his growth?" We anticipate children outgrowing things. We have boxes in our attic to prove that fact. We've got lots of outgrown clothing that we still have hidden up in our attic. Every mother expects her baby to act and react like a baby. She does not look for adult behavior from them. Babyhood is a special time. It's wonderful to be a baby, but it's disastrous to remain one. In fact, as a parent, who hasn't said as a parent, "You need to grow up," to your child, a teenager, and they're still doing things that a toddler would do? When are you going to grow up? It's sad when your wife turns to you and says, "When will you grow up?" But my wife has had to tell me that on occasions. Paul put his finger on this in many places when he writes to the immature believers in various cities. In fact, 1 Corinthians, we're going to turn to a number of passages. You have those jotted down under your first point especially. We're going to dwell a little bit longer with several others, but we're going to look at assorted passages. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 and 2. The church at Corinth was very immature. And Paul had written some pretty scathing letters to them about growing up. Many of them were living in immorality. And they were doing some nasty things, mistreating one another. They were boasting in their abilities. And here Paul writes, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready." He's saying, "You're still babies. Get off the bottle and eat more solid food." Turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. Let's stay in Corinthians while you found that. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways." And so Paul goes on and says, you need to grow up and start acting like a mature believer, follower of Christ. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, a great passage of Scripture that every local church needs to be aware of, that every Christian should be aware of, on why God has given certain gifts within the local church. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 11, it talks about how Christ gave various gifted individuals to the early church and then to the church today. He gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and then pastor teachers or shepherds and teachers. Notice verse 12. To equip the saints, that's believers in Christ, to equip believers for the work of the ministry. For the, what's it say? What's the next two words? Building up of the body of Christ. So God has given pastor teachers to the local church to help equip believers to do the work of the ministry so that the body can be built up, so that there can be maturity that takes place. Notice verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to what? Mature manhood or womanhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. And it goes on and tells us, notice it says in verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto Him who is the head, unto Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working together, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Over and over we see the emphasis on maturity. Notice Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 verses 13 and 14. If you don't know where to find it, I'll read it for you. Hebrews 5, 13 and 14 says this, "For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." So again, this matter of childlike, You feed on milk. It's necessary at first, but then you move on to more solid food as an adult. 2 Peter 3:18, let me read it for you. It says, "But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Grow, grow, grow. One more passage, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture, the Bible, is breathed out by God. It's inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, in order that the man of God may be complete, perfect. The idea is mature, equipped for every good work. There is to be no standing still in our pursuit of maturity in Christ. If we're not moving forward, we're either plateauing or declining. And we cannot afford to do that in our world today. There's too many influences around us that would pull us and drag us down and pull us downstream. I love this prayer. I don't know who wrote it out, but it's wonderful. It says this, "Let me then be always growing, never standing still, listening, learning, better knowing Thee and Thy blessed will." But it's not automatic. Growth is expected, but it's not automatic. We have to work at it. In fact, that's the second point. Growth involves effort. Growth involves effort. It takes work. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy 4. The scripture reading for today was read by Hank, and it came from this passage. We'll camp here for just a moment. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 10. It says, "Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather," what's the next word? "Train. Train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way and holds promise for the present life as well as the life to come." Drop down to verse 10. It says, "For to this end we strive," or "we toil and we strive." But back up to verse 7. "Train yourself to be godly." The word in the Greek is gymnazo. Do you hear an English term in there? What's it say? What is it? Gym. Go to the gym to be godly. In other words, go for training. Go for your workout. Discipline yourself. Train yourself. There's going to be sweat. There's going to be hard work. There's going to be some lifting of weights. You think about an athlete, as you think about the Winter Olympics, I guess, coming up. When's it coming up? Soon? Okay, coming up soon. Some of those people have been training day in and day out for years. A lot of agony, a lot of sweat. In the same way in the Christian life. In fact, we read in Luke 9, it says, "Take up your cross daily and follow me," Christ said. Denying yourself. Denying selfish habits and practices, old ways, and training yourself to be like Christ. Philippians 3:12 says, "Not that I've already obtained or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own." Spiritual maturity is not automatic. It comes with a lot of hard work. And as I mentioned, we're influenced by a culture that says free sex is okay. There's no bounds. You can have it outside of marriage. Our culture says, God is really not all that important. Do your own thing. Make your own decisions. Respect for authority doesn't matter. For an expectant mother, you can get rid of that child, the world says, if it's an inconvenience for you. As believers in Jesus Christ, we need to be in the Word. We need to be growing in our faith. We need to be more like Christ. And we need to recognize when our culture is saying things that scream against Scripture. And we say, we cannot compromise. We cannot just go with the flow. There are things that we will hold to no matter what. We're going to be rigid, no compromise. And the world's going to laugh at us and be angry at us and find fault with us because of it. But we must stand, we must train ourselves for godliness. What is the saying? No pain, no gain. Growth is often aided by trials. We don't like them, but they help us to grow. Hebrews 12 says, "Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord." So it's the idea of effort involved. 2 Peter 1, "For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control." And it goes on, and then to godliness. Growth is expected. Growth involves effort. Third, growth involves help from others. Parents, you help your children grow. I mean, day after day, you're helping them put their clothes on, helping them to know how to eat more solid things, helping them to know how to train them and how to respect one another and how to address adults, how to look people in the eye, how to say thank you. You're always doing that. Well, parents, you need to help your children to grow in their faith as well. Teach them to be independent and how to love God on their own, so in case you're not there with them, they can live for God. But God has designed the church for the benefit of helping people grow. You don't find Christianity living in isolation. You don't find Christians off by themselves in the Word of God. You find it always in the context of the community of believers, especially in the New Testament where the church was established. And then there's all these one another's. It's to be done. Maturity is done in the context within a local church. Yes, independently on your own, but also within the local church. Pastors were given to instruct and equip. Teachers were given the gift to help people to grow in their understanding of God's Word. Other believers are important to be able to pull alongside you when they notice you're going off track, when you're losing sight of where you ought to be. We all help one another to grow. And if I could add a 3B, it actually should be its own point. I realized I need to emphasize this really a lot. Growth involves, you could put a 3B there, growth must include the Word of God. Help from others, and I meant by this the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. We must have the Word of God as a part of our growth process. We cannot do it on our own. We must have the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn infants, we are to long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow into salvation. 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So the Word of God through the Spirit of God helping us to understand how to grow. Dependence on the Word of God. Fourth, growth can be measured. Growth can be measured. How do you measure your kids? What do you do for helping your church helping your child understand how much they've grown? Do you have a growth chart someplace? Okay, we used to have one on the back of our pantry door. Open up the door, and there it was, lines, and it had dates as well, so you could see how you progressed along. It's hard to take that door with you though when you move, but so we take a piece of paper and try to line it all up, and then take it with us to the next place. But it's fun to see, hey, I've grown a little bit. You know, maybe it was only by a hair, but it's just nice to see growth. How do we see growth? How do we measure growth as a believer? Look at your neighbor and see what a scoundrel he is and say, I'm better than he is. No. I'm better than that Christian that's sitting next to me. No. Fruit is definitely a way you do it. Bearing fruit. The Word of God is our measuring stick. The only way we can see, how am I doing? To look at the Word of God and say, ooh, I'm not loving like I should. I'm not obedient. I'm not producing fruit like I ought to be. And I need to work on that. The Word of God is like a mirror that we look at and we see ourselves and we, ooh, I don't like this. Can you imagine this morning if you looked in the mirror and you saw what you looked like and you just said, oh, I'm going to church now and didn't do anything about it? I would be in trouble. You would be in trouble if I did that. But we make changes when we see the mirror of the Word, and we make changes when we see the Word of God. Growth can be measured, and we need to look at the Word of God, not look at other people and compare ourselves with them, but look and see what the Word of God says. Number five, growth takes time. Growth takes time. We live in an instant society. We don't like to wait. But when it comes to godliness, it's a lifelong process. It's a marathon, not a 100-yard dash. Hebrews 6 says, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. Literally, it means let us continue progressing toward maturity. No living thing comes to maturity instantly. We cannot have 3 steps to reach godliness in 1 week. It just doesn't happen. It takes a long time. I'm going to add a number 6 to the list. Okay, will you get enough room? Or turn it over on the back. Growth boosters. I was going to say growth enhancement, but that implies steroids and all that kind of stuff. But growth boosters, what God uses to boost us in our growth. Here's a list of a couple items. Afflictions. Oh, whoopee! Yeah! Bring it on, right? No, afflictions. Whether it's health issues, marriage problems, financial crisis, God can use those things to help us to grow. When was the last time that you were so pressed by some health issue, some crisis in your life, where you had to fall on your knees or by your bed on the floor weeping and saying, God, I have no clue what I'm going to do about this? We need to allow God to use those times to look to Him and say, God, I've got to go to You for answers. I need Your Word to help direct my path. How about a major decision? Some of you are going into the job market and looking for a good job. Some of you are looking to get married and you're looking for a mate. Some of you are going to college or considering moving. Are you going to the Lord about those things? Are you using that as an opportunity to grow? I remember at our last church, we had a family that they said, Pastor, just all of a sudden, I mean, there was no clue before that. They said, Pastor, we're moving. And we're moving next week. And I'm going, whoa. And so my first thought was, and I had to word it carefully, was, have you prayed about it? Well, unfortunately, they had not really prayed much about it. They just went because of the money. And they had not considered that there was not about schooling for their children, about a church nearby. They later on found out there were no churches in that area at all. And they were bemoaning the fact. And there were other things that they had established relationships with certain families. And they were trying to reach for Christ. And they hadn't thought about all those other things. They just moved just because that was convenient for them and more money. I'm wondering if those times could be great growth times of just pulling alongside and saying, Lord, help me. Is this the right thing, or should we stay put, or where should we go? How about big events? The loss of a friend, the birth of a child, the death of someone, the child going off to college. All those are big events. They could be growth times in our life. Or how about persecution for your faith? Maybe a family member just has written you off. Maybe a friend at work found out you're a believer and said, get out of my life. Those can be growth boosters, not busters. God wants us to not waste those opportunities. So as we come to a conclusion, I think you get the point. We need to be growing. We need to be growing. It is expected of us. Let me read a couple quotes for you that I found really encouraging. Howard Hendricks was really a person that made a big impact in my life, and he said this: the Bible is the divine means of developing spiritual maturity. There is no other way. Oswald Chambers said, spiritual maturity is not reached by the passing of years, but by obedience to the will of God. Amy Carmichael said this: sometimes when we read the words of those who have been more than conquerors, we feel almost despondent. She goes on to say, I feel that I shall never be like that. But then she goes on and says, but they won step by step, by little bits of will, little denials of self, little inward victories, by faithfulness in very little things. In other words, every day you're making choices that will determine the course of your life. Are you seeking God's wisdom? Are you looking at the Word of God? Are you growing little by little, day by day, month by month, year by year? Erwin Lutzer said, there are no shortcuts to spiritual maturity. It takes time to be holy. Then he goes on to say this, it's wonderful. It says, spiritual maturity, Erwin Lutzer said, is marked by being comfortable with the unpredictability of God. You know what that means? God brings some surprises into our life, crisis points into our life, affliction into our life, those unexpected things into our life. But the more we get comfortable with the fact that God is worthy to be trusted, even in the unpredictability of life, we're growing. Jim George said, spiritual maturity is a lifelong pursuit. We grow in spiritual maturity moment by moment, day by day, year by year. One more. Physical maturity is bound to time, John Bevere writes, but spiritual maturity is bound to obedience. And we'll be looking some more into those about what a disciple of Christ looks like, what a growing disciple looks like starting next week. So I want to close with this. Are you growing? How is it growing? Are you reading the Word of God on a daily basis? Are you taking advantage of one of our life groups or Sunday school classes for your kids? Are you making it a priority to hear the Word of God from the pulpit and other sources? Are you reading good Christian books? Folks, is growing in Christ important? All right. And so, are you growing? Are you growing?